It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening to you all. It's Tuesday the 2nd of August. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Big thanks to my colleague Roy Jennings, although I'm a little jealous of him. He gets to spend all week over in Mullingar at the Fla Ciol, bringing you drive time from 3 to 7 every day from our outside broadcast unit. I mean, how lucky is he? Have you been to Mullingar yet? I was over there yesterday evening and despite the rain, the spirits over there weren't dampened. The town looks amazing. There was music everywhere, under covers albeit. But look at the weather today and the difference it has made. I saw a few photographs there just before I came on air. And again, people are out in the streets. There's music everywhere and smiles on people's faces. So a great week in Mullingar. It's off to a flying start. Talking to some of the business owners over there yesterday, including David Quirk and Denise Buckley from Wholesome Kitchen and the Sugar Plum Sweetery. And indeed some people in the Greville Arms Hotel, they are already getting a surge. It has been a great start to the week with lots more to come. So well done to everybody over there. The town looks great. It has responded really well and it's definitely worth a trip over. Really well planned out. Lots of car parking options, shuttle bus services in from the car parks. Everything you need to have a good family day out or just get away for a few days as well and just check out the Fla Ciol that's happening in Mullingar all this week. What's coming up for you this evening on Taking Care of Business? Well, I'm going to talk about working hubs, co-working hubs very, very shortly, and particularly with one local entrepreneur who really has had a vision. And as a famous man once said, vision without execution is just hallucination. Well, in this case, there's no hallucination about this one. What has been created in Port Laois is quite astounding and could even be the benchmark or the template for how co-working and co-networking hubs should be created as we move forward. Also, if you have an idea, particularly an idea that can tackle the issues that are rising with food waste, with fast fashion and with climate change at large, are you prepared to pitch that idea at a Dragon's Den style event next month? Well, find out how you can go about that, what's happening and where you need to be and how you need to get your idea in as well. You don't need to have a background in business or in any industry per se, but if you've got an idea, something that's burning with you and you feel that it's worth pitching to a couple of judges, it could see you in a national final then later in October. All the details about that coming up very shortly too. And kind of sticking with that theme of sustainability, Georgina Carey of Sulla's Eco Garden Shop in Port Arlington will be along to give you all the details of a swap till you drop event that's taking place this coming weekend. It's all themed around clothing and of course reusing the clothing that we have, but it's another fantastic event that the team at Sulla's Eco Garden Shop are bringing you. So lots to come here on Taking Care of Business this evening. If you're tuned in and you want to get in touch with me here or any of my guests this evening, you can do so on our text and WhatsApp line. That's 083 3010 103. Always delighted to hear from you and what's happening in your world right now and what's the latest in terms of your business and what are you watching out for? What are you confident of? Or is there anything out there that maybe makes you a little bit fearful? Because we all know going into business in the first instance can be filled with dread for some people. It can be quite arduous. If you're trying to break away from a job, maybe to start a business, if you just have an idea, you're not really sure how to bring it to fruition as well. There's so many hurdles, there's so many challenges, so many roadblocks. But some people just seem to have that entrepreneurial flair and that entrepreneurial spirit. So I'd love to introduce you now to Mr. Eamon Callaghan. Eamon is the visionary and the creator of Vision 85. It is a business and co-networking hub in Port Laois. That is really just the start of things to come. We're going to meet Eamon now, find out the what, the who, the why, and really get an idea what the future for remote working and remote hubs looks like. Eamon, very good evening. You're welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thanks for having me, Ronan.
Eamon, Vision 85, take us right back to the start. When did it start? And I suppose why?
Well, it started back in 2018. Kind of seeing a demand. People were looking at buying garden shed, what they're calling garden sheds for offices in the back of their house. And I said, Jesus, there's something here. So what we did is I looked around Port Laois to see if there's any locations that could actually, you know, work with this model. I actually checked in 35 locations around Laois. I knocked on every door, every businessman's door to say, like, is there any space, the whole lot. So one of them actually came up, which is the one I'm in now in Clamynan Business Park. It was a shell as such, but I could see the potential, and the potential was it had space, it had parking, it was easy access to the motorways. So I approached the owners in 2018 November, got the go ahead, started construction in November/December, and had my first tenant in January. So I decided to create, which was Vision 85. Vision being my vision, and the year 85 is the year I was born. So it was like, it's not really about the name as such, it's just about what you can do and achieve. So from there, along with a friend of mine, Wayne Connolly of Connolly Building Services, he literally worked night and day to try build Vision 85 along with me. Now, we've made many a mistake, we've learned from them, we've kind of moved on quickly. And I think having a, you know, likes of a private hub as well, I can make the decisions fairly quickly. And I know there's a lot of hubs out there that can't, and it can affect, you know, progression of days and things like that. But with Vision 85, we started off with what we had and what we could use. And then we put in hot desks. And within 4 weeks, I said, this is not going to work. Hot desk doesn't work in rural Ireland. So I turned into offices and had them rented out straight away. I didn't give up on the whole thing of hot desking. I think it's kind of a lost word in the middle or in the rural Ireland, they say, because in the bigger cities, I'm trying to find out who the person across the table is, how they're going to help me, who they know that I don't know, things like that. But in rural Ireland, I kind of figured out that they just want to go in, do their job. They'll meet you at the coffee machine, they'll meet you in the communal space, whatever else, but they just want their own privacy as such.
Is it the transient nature of a hot desk, or is what really is the key thing that almost puts people off it?
I think it's the openness and not having that bit of privacy. Like when you're in the bigger towns and the bigger cities, that noise actually helps a lot of people, you know, get by their day. But in rural Ireland, they just want to do their own thing. They want to go into their own space, do it a few hours, go off, get a coffee, get their lunch, meet up with you, whatever, and anyone else in the hub and things like that. But yeah, I think that's the problem, is they just want their own space. So I put in pods. We got pods from Allwood, these modulite ones, and they're working very well. Like people can come in, they lock the door, leave the laptop in there, go up to the cafe, come back, do their day's work, you know.
Your location, you just mentioned there, it's in Clonmynan Business Park. It's just off the M9, so you could say a very strategic location. But when it came to creating a hub like this, any concerns about putting it in effectively an industrial zone?
It was. To be honest, people kind of said I'm mad, like, you need to be in the town. And I kind of says, well, I looked at the model, like, it was in Australia previous to that, and all the epicenter of a lot of those places was the industrial estate. So you can go get good food there, you could have, rent office space and things like that. And I kind of said, this model will work. So for the first while, it was feeling well and people were, it was gaining traction. And as I was filling it, I was continuously building. Like, and I originally only wanted 2 units, but I ended up now, as of now, taking the whole lot. But what I realised is there's a lot of people coming in, like even startups and small businesses would like, they look for direction. They look for, like, I want a space and all that. And what I offer in the hub is I offer all startups 30 days free. But I'll also talk to them and I'll say, listen, you need to talk to such and such, whether it's the local enterprise office, whether it's Leader, whether it's even the business support units in the councils. I'll kind of say, right, to minimise their risk of going to the wrong person at the wrong time, like, they're at a starting point, they might need advice on, you know, where there's funding or where there's mentorship, the whole lot. And that's what works well in my hub, is I can think on my feet. But the other thing too is, I notice is, I don't kind of create that environment like a hotel where you walk in, you're handed a key and you're kind of forgotten about. I kind of knock on doors, I kind of get chatting to people, what the problems are, kind of come up with a solution. And it works well even in construction. The construction, what we're doing, like, you know, you can always recommend a good plumber, a good painter, and that's what hubs, you know, should be working like, is to promote what's in the area as well, you know.
It can be a tough time in business, that startup phase where you're way too a young stage as a business to go and actually apply for support or maybe get the advice you need, and sometimes you could be left hanging a little bit. But we're going to come back on that as well. If we go back to when you first started, 2018, 2019, of course that was pre-pandemic, before this whole notion of working from home and remote working kind of got maybe trusted on lots of people, and people like myself who had never worked from home now find myself working from home more than anything else. Like, and it's been a seismic shift in terms of how we live our lives. But back then, the development of these hubs was it primarily the state agencies, like, you know, the likes of the enterprise offices that were developing these, county councils rather than private people, certainly in the Midlands?
I'm the only private one in Laois, and my model was completely different. My model is I was literally changing as I was going. Like, I was learning from the person that was coming in the door. So whatever problem they had or thing, I kind of tweaked my whole infrastructure to say, right, this might work a little bit better or that might work better. And what happened with a lot of hubs is they actually went to the bigger cities and used a lot of their setup to kind of come back and build it in the rural areas. And my whole thing was, you can't copy, you know, someone else's hope. You have to look at your where you're located, your, you know what I mean, what third level colleges you have close by, your transport links, you know, even with the GEAs, you know, what's the median age group of people in the area. And there you go, build your hub to suit what's in your area. And the funny thing about my hub is, like, about, I'd say, 15% of my tenants are not from are from Port Laois. The rest are from all around. And they're travelling in. Like, I had people coming from Kildare Town, Ross Grey, and all to use the hub as well. What the council are doing and the Enterprise Ireland are doing is, like, don't get me wrong, it's great to, you know, look at buildings that get a second lease of life and opportunity for people to go in and use these spaces. But you can't literally follow what's been done in the previous town. You have to have your own selling point, your own USP. And if you don't have that, you will struggle to a certain degree, like, because you're trying to use a model that's worked for someone that's close to a motorway and you're not close to it, you know, in a sort of way. So
Port Laois has been often referred to over the last maybe 5 or 10 years as the fastest growing town in Ireland in terms of population. Recent census figures are kind of confirming that and showing actually across the Midlands there is a population growth. So what is it that stands out about Port Laois? Like, what is it that makes the hub successful, and why did people start travelling to it from outside? What is it, what's that unique selling point it has?
Well, we're the crossroads of Ireland. You go one direction, you're Limerick, you go another direction in Dublin, and you're kind of Cork and close enough to Galway. But what, like, Port Laois is, like, we haven't got third level colleges. We haven't got massive manufacturing companies. We have a lot of civil servants. And what happens is a lot of them people that are in the civil service are actually reinvesting in their kids, whether it's, you know, for education, training and things like that. But the thing is, we have a lot of people that were leaving Laois on a daily basis. And what we should be creating is you know, the opportunity. I think I've always been saying is, why don't we create a digital campus in Laois? Literally create something that, you know, look at opportunities, whether it's VR, AR, immersive training, AI, any of that stuff, any of that, you know, those industries, and kind of create, you know, in other words, let Facebook and the Googles kind of go, geez, there's something big happening in Laois. Like, we need to, you know, be part of that. And that's what I feel we're missing out on. And also the giant up thinking, like creating think tanks, creating events where people that want that bit of direction. Like, in the last week there now, I've been sitting down talking with the local enterprise office about creating accelerator, you know, investments and things like that for startups and established businesses. That it's instead of more about the financial input, also it's about creating, talking to like-minded people, being in a room and, you know, and looking at the barriers that everyone else is hitting, how they overcome it. And that's the other, you know, opportunity I see that can happen in Laois. And that's one thing I'm pushing at the moment in Vision 85.
You have an idea in your head what that accelerator program looks like.
Yeah.
What is it? Can you tell us?
Well, I've hit more brick walls myself in business, and it's because I didn't have that hand on my shoulder to say, right, slow down. And I only got that, my landlord actually became my mentor, Dennis, and accidentally, but to be honest, he slowed me down to say, right, you're doing 12 jobs, do 5. Give those two to someone else. And that's actually helped me speed up my business. But I didn't have that hand on the shoulder up to only about 2 years ago. So what I'm saying is, what we want to create the accelerators is, I have a lot of people that are obviously, like, Irish people are interested in investing back in their future and the kids' future. And, like, if there was initially, like, a slush fund as such that they can put in, like, a lot of people don't need €1 million or 100,000. What they need is a base, Vision 85. What they need is the support, what Leo offer as well, with the likes of mentors and all that stuff. What they also need is, like, there's a lot of retired people that want to give back and that still have a bit of fire in their belly, that want to get involved in helping startups or helping establish small businesses. And the initial thing, the last thing then, is putting some sort of seed funding into it. But the one thing about any startup is, and my whole motto is, 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing. And I want to kind of get involved with startups and trying to say, right, what do you need? This is what I have to offer. I can put you in touch with such a person and such a person, you know?
Absolutely. And that's, I think, as well, because no matter, you know, whilst the way we do work and how we do business can change or can alter, particularly when you look at what happened during the pandemic and post-pandemic, fundamentally, the principles of how we do business remain unchanged. So when you mention even retired people or people who have that knowledge base or that knowledge bank that they can lend as well, and I suppose hope that it is offered that opportunity as well, particularly with those accelerator programs. But I'm going to take a short break now. Eamon is going to stay on with me in studio. And after break, we're going to actually open the doors of the hub. And Eamon's going to take you through it, because it is much more than just desks and office pods and meeting rooms and that. There's a whole other story behind it as well. We'll tap into that as well as continue to explore that whole area of entrepreneurship and particularly local and Midlands-based entrepreneurship. I am talking working hubs with Eamon Callaghan of Vision 85 in Portlaoise. And before the break, you would have heard Eamon just detailing and outlining his own vision. He said to me during the break, you know, and reiterated his main point, you can't force a hub. You have to create it. And he spoke about how they carved it out and they looked at the needs of the area, the skill sets, the businesses, the industry sectors that were around in order to create Vision 85. He also mentioned at times, you know, people, community, and that is a huge and fundamentally and massive aspect of this hub. Eamon, just begin, I suppose, the words co-working and remote working, though, you don't necessarily like those terms. Tell us why.
It's not that I don't like them. I just think they're misunderstood. Like, I mean, you think remote working, people think you're working out in the bog, you know. And if you're working co-working, they go, I don't go into a room with 50 people. So, like, the new words, I think, you know, you call it flexible / hybrid working, you know, like, it's... And it's a business hub as well, because anyone that comes in there, whether they're working for directly or indirectly with businesses, they're still looking for space like that. Like, you've had, you know, I've had students in that were, you know, doing their thesis and things like that, and they were taking space too. So it's kind of hard to nail down what you are, what identity you are. It's just you have to kind of be open to everyone and anyone, you know.
I think that's a key point to the next piece we're going to touch on. For anyone that's looking to where unit is, it's just off Junction 17 and 18 on the M9 in Kilmainham Business Park, opposite Ken Black's warehouse there, and right beside Cloud9 Furniture. As I mentioned, community, people, you know, bringing, you know, having that kind of higher purpose, bringing people together. You've kind of gone the extra level with Vision 85. So I suppose anybody that has driven past it lately or keeps an eye out, the first thing they'll see is the Hangry Goat. Yeah. Start there and tell us about, you know, what you've added to this hub.
Well, I actually got plan permission for the Hangry Goat in 2019, and I just kind of sat in it because it wasn't ready. And then what happened with COVID and things like that, but it was always been something I wanted to do. So I started work in it was meant to open in April, in May, and thing with price of materials and all, it kind of slowed us up. But we opened in the first week of July. So we created a cafe as such, but it took me 6 months to even get my chef. And I wanted him. That's what fit in my model was. This was Kenneth. So I chased him. As such, sat down. He's from Banagher, and I kind of liked his energy. So from there, the hub I created was an industrial type cafe. We do everything fresh. The coffee is crack coffee that's done in Laois. The baker's from Laois, Fiona. I try to support as much local as I can. Cheese jams, even the milkman and everything. So my whole philosophy and what I'm trying to do in the hub is support local and create as much opportunity locally as I can. So the Hangry Goat, it actually turned out to be very successful, and we've actually had to expand more seating upstairs. So I've turned my training room now into more seating, and that's going to come online in the next 2 weeks. But we notice what the food element is. Now, Portlaoise is such, you can kind of be known as a kind of a fast foodie town, and to kind of get good, fresh food as such, you have to either get in the evening time or kind of look for it. So we've done everything from the breakfast bun to the breakfast burrito. You know, now we've introduced the Wagyu burger. I think we're the only one at least doing the Wagyu beef burger, which is an expensive burger. It's not an everyday purchase as such. It's kind of a Friday, Saturday luxury. They're local as well. Like, you know, me and a friend of mine have started breeding full-blood Wagyus, the most expensive meat in the country or in the world as possible. But it's still Irish, it's still local, and that's my objective.
And I suppose the proof is in the pudding. By pure chance, I just happened to be bringing one of my children over to a birthday party not too far from Vision 85 on Saturday. And we called in then for a cup of coffee. I have to say the cappuccino was exceptional as well, as indeed was the red velvet cookie. That was fantastic, actually. So fair play to you. Wherever you're getting them, it's clearly working. But at that time, about 2:30 last Saturday, the cafe was full. So kind of really, your idea that this is a working hub or a co-working hub kind of goes out the window straight away when you see that the cafe was already full on that. So that's been working really well for you. But you've gone a bit further as well. There's a barber on site.
And a hairdresser. So the barber actually was positioned on the main street of Portlaoise, and it's my brother. And with COVID and all, I kind of sat back and looked at, right, what's the one thing that people want? And they wanted, you know, access. You know, convenience is what sells. That's the one word that sells all day long, is the word convenience. So they wanted that. And with Vision 85, we have 78 parking spaces. We can get in and get out. You don't have to be stuck in traffic in the town. So we moved the barbershop up, and it was amazing. Like, he's booked 2 weeks in advance. He was in the Booksy app. And from there, then we had an extra space. And I says, why not put in the hairdressers? So we've actually employed two hairdressers there as well, and they're busy from Tuesday all the way to Saturday. And what I'm trying to create is I wanted to bring the what we call the outside in and kind of get the community in around the place and explore what Vision 85 is and kind of peer in through the windows and go, that's amazing. And from there, actually, as well, our classes with Ashley and Hennessy have happened, where she's actually doing morning and evening classes with kids, and that's becoming really successful. And the parents can nip in, get a coffee, get in the car as quick as they can, and they're out the gap. We also have a podcast room on site, and that's getting utilised a lot now lately, even with the likes of David Cuddy. But what I wanted to create was not your typical hub. It had to be kind of like, it's like where my future thinking is co-retail. I think co-retail and co-work and co-business is a way that it's not just all about offices. Offices can become bland. And if, like in school, we all sat straight in the desk. Went to college, we all sat straight in the desk. If you don't put creativity and imagination into these spaces, you're going to struggle to kind of fill them as such. So putting these elements in there, like people look out the window and they're not seeing the same face. They're seeing different faces every day. And even going up to the cafe where they get a coffee, they might meet a friend up there. They don't have to hop in their car and go into town. So actually, there's us lowering our carbon footprint too, like, you know. That's the next thing we have to kind of look at, is looking at electric chargers and bike stands and things like that too.
It really is full steam ahead. You've already created 11 full-time jobs in Vision 85. What's next? Have you got room to expand? What's on the cards? I mean, I'm sure I can see it now as you walk out of the studio in a few minutes. You're already thinking of the next.
Yeah, I never stop. That's the problem. And that's probably why herself is kind of putting the brakes on me. I have to take it easy. I'm getting married now next year, and I was told to kind of get my priorities right. I never stop thinking. My whole thing is I get contact from hubs and other businesses that kind of look for advice, or, you know, what, you know, how I could help them kind of bring their space to the next level. And each one of them, you kind of have to go in and explore it and see what ideas can be utilized in the area, and, you know, how you can bring kind of business there. I have 13,500 square foot there in Vision 85. We've currently going to be housing the LOETB, Portlaoise College. They're moving in at the end of this month, and then I probably have one office left. Vision 85 is full. So my whole thing is I'm always open to collaboration, ideas, anyone that wants any advice. I'd love to create another two or three Vision 85s around the country.
And anyone that wants to find out more, Vision 85, that's vision and the number 85.ie, will get you all the information that you want there. Very briefly, Eamon, the kind of membership model for people, you mentioned they're giving, you know, startups maybe 30 days grace on that, but you also give people discounts on the various services around to kind of attract them in as well.
Yeah, so all my tenants can get 20% off in the barbers, the hairdressers and the coffee shop. And I think that's kind of, you know, when they're paying out initial big costing every month, I only do a month-by-month basis, so pay-as-you-go. These long-term contracts and all, it's very hard to control them, and it's very hard to kind of put pressure on the person that's in there saying that, no, you must sign a minimum of a year. So, like, when they're paying that cost, is to kind of give that bit back, that you're getting more than just an office. You're also getting to use the facilities on site. I'm 24/7 access. And the thing about it too is, like, if someone comes into me and says they want the office a space 2 or 3 days a week, instead of you charging the initial €20 a day, you can work something with them that it takes that financial burden off them. Because at the end of the day, when they have bums on the sea, it's good for Vision 85, you know.
And not to be something like that's at that very early stage for people as well. That could be, you know, some of the struggle is just having that regular, you know, cash flow for their business. But I mean, by meeting someone like yourself there, and certainly the community in the hub, it sounds like things can really work for them as well. Eamon, thank you so much. It's been fascinating listening to you. And I think anybody listening also knows this is probably just the start of something as well. But a huge achievement in the last 3 years, given everything that's happened globally and nationally and locally here too. All the very best with Vision 85 as it goes forward, and looking forward to hearing many more updates from it.
Thanks very much, Ron.
Stay tuned. After the break, if you have an idea that you think can help the planet effectively and really help work and reduce the impact of how we run our daily lives in terms of climate. You heard Eamon mention there about, you know, even, you know, putting electrical chargers around the Vision 85 as well, but by reducing the carbon footprint that people are emitting by having all those services and maybe that co-retailing space on site, there are opportunities there if we fundamentally change. So if you have an idea and you think it's worth pitching in front of a few judges in a Dragon's Den style competition, it could be anything to do with how we manage food waste, it could be fast fashion, it could be just a general idea on climate change. Keep listening, because after break you're going to find out how you can get involved in that initiative, and maybe you could be representing one of the Midlands counties at a national event next October. The role that social enterprise plays in our community can never be underestimated, and indeed should never be underappreciated too. Well, a new initiative has come to light as well. It's from the Community Enterprise Association Ireland. They're the leading network of enterprise hubs across the country. And the aim of this initiative is to promote social enterprise by hosting a series of Dragon's Den style events right across the country. Creative Spark is calling on you or groups of you from around the Midlands to enter and present a business idea or a solution that tackles a social or environmental challenge. And Lord only knows there is many of them out there at Menid, and it really has been highlighted to us on a day by day basis. But to find out more, I'm delighted to be joined by Ciara Breen. Ciara is manager of Creative Spark. Very good evening, Ciara. I suppose to begin with, can you tell us a little bit more about Creative Spark and how it came about in the first place?
Hi, Ronan. Yeah, thanks for having me. As you mentioned, I am manager of Creative Spark. It's actually their newest location in Dundalk, Creative Spark Downtown. Well, Creative Spark has been around for over 10 years. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary this October. And it's an enterprise centre, so we're a member of the Community Enterprise Association of Ireland. And the main focus on Creative Spark when it first opened was to support creative and innovative industries. And with our second location now with Creative Spark Downtown, we're looking at supporting other types of business startups and those remote workers as we see, you know, the work environment changing. So we've just opened 2 months ago and it's going well so far.
You might have heard my previous guest there speaking about, you know, remote working and co-working hubs and what they can create and indeed co-create for their communities. And this really is a call that you're putting out to everybody across the Midlands to say, we want your ideas and you want people to run the gauntlet of standing in front of a couple of Dragon's Den style judges. What sort of ideas or what sort of areas are you looking at getting ideas from?
Yeah, so as you mentioned just there about how important these co-working hubs are, the reason we decided on a town centre location was to support the regeneration of Dundalk Town Centre. And that can happen with, you know, a growth of people to the area working locally. But there are kind of three main themes that we want to cover during the Champion Changemakers weekend, and that's the environment and climate action, economic inequality and human well-being. And I think if we look at the last couple of years, none of us would have really expected to be where we are now. And there's conversations being had out there on a daily basis on these themes. And we really want to promote the idea of social enterprise in local communities and bring those ideas to the forefront and, you know, bring them forward as blueprints that can be used all across the country.
I think last week when we saw the announcement around the sectorial emission reduction targets that were set out by the government, and there's some, you know, very, very ambitious targets there, and up to 50% in transport, 75% in energy, the 25% in agriculture being one of the more controversial ones. So really, I mean, I suppose the onus has been put on not just businesses, but everyday citizens to come and come up with real ideas from this. What would you like to see coming from this, or what are your expectations from it? Like, what if somebody has an idea that goes before the panel and it's successful, and how does it go after that? Like, is there prize funds available, or can it be adopted or rolled out at a local or national level?
Yeah, so the weekend on the 23rd of September is regional events all across the country. So there's six hubs taking part, and you can your listeners can have a look on communityenterprise.ie, and there's a link to Champion Changemakers there to see where their local hub may be. But there will be, over the weekend, we're calling now for individuals, community groups. They don't need to have experience in the business sector or social enterprise. We just want to see them come with just fresh ideas, looking at local community challenges. So over the course of the weekend, it's that Dragon's Den idea. Someone will then go forward to the National Pitch Fest in Dublin in Thursday, October 20th. So once you get to that stage, the champion change maker will be crowned on that day, and there will be a bursary available with key supports and services to help transform their idea into a viable social enterprise.
Because there are a number of social enterprises that have sprung up over the past 4 or 5 years in the country. Some are very successful. Things like GIY Ireland or Grow It Yourself Ireland, Too Good To Go, an app that lets people buy surplus food and drink from restaurants, grocery stores, you know, etc. Refill Ireland, a non-profit organisation aiming to create a sustainable future by reducing plastic waste. So these are kind of key central themes, and again, that you'll be putting the call out for people there to come up with if they just have that idea or something that they think could make a huge change by something very simple. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, and I think it's important to start local and look at, you know, your own community and see where the challenges are. I mean, it's a national event, and the same key themes will be seen across the country, but keeping it focused on the local community and people that have had, you know, personal experiences, I think that will help bring out the best and bring out those ideas that could, again, be the next GIY, Men's Shed, social enterprises that have been running for 10 years and will continue to run into the future. So that's what we really want to see coming through, and those supports will help give them a starting point.
It's because I think getting that message, you know, taking these high-level kind of carbon emission reduction targets and really distilling them down and getting that information down to the citizens of the Midlands, that's going to be a huge challenge, because people need to know exactly how their daily lives or how they're doing things or how they've always done it may be affecting the climate. So maybe this is an opportunity for people to, if you just have that idea there, to come forward with it and see. Kira, you might just give us a reminder of the website or the contact details for somebody who has an idea would like to find out more.
Yeah, so they can contact us through the Community Enterprise website. So it's www.communityenterprise.ie, and they can click on the link to Champion Changemakers there and register their interest, be it as an individual participant or even if they wanted to volunteer on the weekend, that they feel that their support might be able to provide some help. If they just are interested in social enterprise and they don't have the idea, you can come along as well. People will be built into teams, and we'll be hoping that we get that good mix of skill sets, and they'll be supported over the weekend with facilitators and mentors to work on that idea. It'll be quite an intense weekend, but I think it'll be so valuable from what we will get out of that over the course of the weekend.
It sounds fascinating, and it'll be really interesting to see what sort of ideas come forward from that and which ones go through to the final in October then. But for now, Kira Breen, the manager of Creative Spark in Dundalk, thank you so much for that update on it, and we're all looking forward to hearing more about the competition.
Thank you, Ronan.
There you go. If you have an idea that you think can make a real difference when it comes to climate change, and it could be just around fast fashion, it could be food waste, it could be reducing our car journeys or dependence on fossil fuels, anything, whatever it is, you found out there how you can go and pitch that idea, maybe even explore that idea in a little bit more depth and work with peers and see can you develop it even further, and maybe, who knows, turn it into a social enterprise like one of the many ones that are listed there on the website as given. After the break, stay tuned, because if you have loads of clothes that you maybe are in great condition, you know, has anybody got a shirt in the press or a blouse that still has the original tags on it that you bought maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you still haven't worn it and you haven't asked the question, are you ever going to wear it? But if you've got clothes and you feel they'd be worthy of swapping with somebody, maybe you could swap that shirt for a different one or something even nicer or whatever it might be. Well, Sullis Eco Garden Shop in Port Arlington have just the event for you. It's taking place this coming weekend. Find out more about that in just a couple of moments. About 3-4 weeks ago on Taking Care of Business, I spoke to John Toohey. John was one of the original founders of Nightline Couriers, and then more recently has launched a new venture called Oopod, and it targets particularly the carbon emissions and trying to reduce the carbon footprint associated with returning clothes. So, you know, if you're online and you're buying loads of suits or dresses or shirts and you try them on, you send most of them back, it's generating a huge carbon footprint. And sometimes we've got to ask the question, are we buying more than we need? And often, have we ever actually looked in our wardrobes or in the presses or those boxes up in the attic that have stickers on them and really looked at the clothing that we're holding on to and ask ourselves the question, do I need it? Would somebody else enjoy it more than I could? And what happens if I could maybe swap that item of clothing with somebody else? The great people at Sullis, Ireland's first eco garden centre and artisan food market in Port Arlington, come up with a great idea, and their inaugural clothes swap event will take place this coming Sunday, the 7th of August. To find out more, I'm delighted to be joined by Georgina Carey of Sullis. Georgina, this whole issue of fast fashion and landfills being drowned with clothing, and in particular, I spoke with John Dewey about it a few weeks ago, not just in Ireland, but all across continental Africa and even South America as well. The amount of clothing that is dumped every week is absolutely beyond belief. You're trying to tackle that and start locally. Again, of a great initiative you have. Tell us more about Swap Till You Drop.
Hi, Ronan. Thanks for having us on your show. So, Sullis Eco Garden Centre are having our first clothes swapping event this Sunday, the 7th of August. So clothes swapping is like a fun and easy way to reduce waste and to update your wardrobe without spending a penny.
I presume you bring the clothes in a bag. You don't swap the clothes you're wearing now, just in case anyone has get the wrong idea.
No, so what we're asking people to do is to drop the clothes prior to the event. So they can come in any time between 9 and 6 to Sullis the Eco Garden Centre, into the shop or the food court, and you can just drop their clothes. And once they have dropped their clothes, we give them a token, depending on the amount of clothes that they drop. So we're asking people just to limit it to like 10 items of clothing per person.
And how has interest been so far?
Yeah, it's been super, actually. It's been really good. There's been so many positive comments, and I've had loads of phone calls, and we've had loads of lovely clothes being dropped off already. It's just men and women's clothing at the moment. So, we're really excited. I think it's going to be a real success.
Do you think Are people's attitudes changing? Do people really see the benefit of something like Swap Till You Drop now? Like, is the penny finally dropping, do you think, when it comes to climate change and trying to increase and raise that awareness on it, and for people to start looking for ways they can actually try and make a difference?
I think so. Definitely from the response we've had from this clothes swapping event, people's attitudes are changing. And that's why we're here at Sullis as well, to do our bit to help to make people more aware of the effects of fast fashion and to give people the opportunity to make a difference, you know. So,
Sullis itself is the ideal venue. I mean, anybody that's familiar with it will know, like, all the steel, plastic, cardboard and stone that's used in its construction is 100% recycled. It's the first 100% green car park in Ireland, and the list of kind of platitudes can go on and on. You're building something really special over there, and as this event shows, you're continuing to add to that. Can you take us through the latest developments that you have at Sullis, you know, particularly the festivals you've had recently and the food offering that's now available there?
Well, we recently had our French festival. We brought the French festival back to Port Arlington, which was a super success. We had music and French food, and everyone really enjoyed it. We actually had a visit from the French embassy as well, so they were all very impressed. Also, our next adventure as well is we're opening an eco shop inside in a retail store. So we'll be selling, and we'll have lots more information about that coming soon.
But the development continues apace there too. And how has interest been overall in, say, garden centre side of things? Are people still as busy in gardening as much? Like, has all the new interest that people developed during numerous lockdowns, has that continued apace? And are you seeing that on the ground in the shop?
Absolutely, yeah. People are loving the plants, and the plants are flying out all the time. Everybody's loving their garden, especially when the weather's starting to pick up now as well.
Yeah, it's time for it, all right. Plenty of rain will do good. And actually, I think Arthur O'Mara with Will Faulkner this morning was on about getting ready for your autumn plants, but we won't go there just yet. But Georgina, just give people some of the main details for this swap and shop event on Sunday. What time does it actually start at, and how can people find out more about it?
So the event starts on Sunday, the 7th of August at 11 o'clock. We're asking people, as I said, to drop their clothes in prior to the event, any time before the event. And they will get their tokens, which they can then spend on the day at the swap shop.
Perfect. So that's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, the 7th of August. Georgina Carey from Sullis Eco Garden Shop, thank you so much for coming on this evening.
No worries. My pleasure, Ron. Thank you so much.
And there you go. Another very simple idea, but yet an idea that could make real change. And who knows what sort of, I can't say bargains because it's a swap, but what sort of gems you might unearth over there. So if you've got some really good clothing that maybe you know you're not going to wear anymore, but somebody else might be really interested in, why not try and drop them off there to Sullis Eco Garden Centre on the Monasterevin Road out of Port Arlington, and then maybe come back on Sunday between 11 and 3 with your 10 tokens and just see what sort of brilliant food or clothing items that you might get. And sure, while you're there, pick up some nice food and some coffee as well. Lots happening there. So great to see those initiatives that are happening and taking place. And interestingly, a kind of a common theme through this evening's programme has been on the kind of idea of community and social enterprise and the changing way that we do business and the way we try to live our life and that type of thing. And then one story, of course, that was all over the news last week was the whole thing around AIB potentially closing down the 70 branches. And I just thought, wasn't fascinating to think that the chief executive came out within days and admitted that the bank had gotten it wrong when it said it was turning 70 of its 170 branches into cashless facilities. They'd made the announcement just last week, but reversed the decision following a public outcry around the country and certainly locally here in the Midlands too and in some of the counties. AIB says the plan will not be revisited now and all existing branches will remain as they are. The proposals included branches in Rathdowney, Burr and Edenderry before the decision was reversed. Their chief executive, Colin Hunt, says lessons have been learned.
A large number of our customers continue to want to have ready access, immediate access, 24-hour access to cash. It is inevitable that banking services will be delivered in a very fundamentally different way in 2030. But the lesson for me is we moved way too far, way too fast in this instance.
And one wonders how they're surprised by that and that it really is interesting to see that scale of the climb down and that type of thing. But who knows what will happen next? Will it just become more difficult with our banks to actually handle cash? Will it become more expensive? And ultimately, will these kind of cashless banks just emerge from that anyway? Who knows? It's not happening straight away too. And I don't think rural Ireland is ready for that because a lot of the focus last week too was on emissions and reducing the carbon emissions associated with many of our, you know, largest economic sectors. But a Roscommon Galway Centre thinks that farmers are willing to make changes to bring down emissions. Senator Eugene Murphy says a lot of negotiations will have to take place between government and farming communities to compensate them. The government, of course, has set a target of 25% reduction for the agriculture sector. But Senator Murphy says they would have preferred a lower target than that.
Well, it's a difficult challenge. I had a lot of negotiations last week with farmers. I also met with the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue. I made it clear to everybody that I did not expect it would be at 22%. I would have probably preferred it to be at 24%. But having said that, I think farmers are willing to raise to the challenge. There will be challenges in this.
There will be challenges for sure as well, a huge one to rise to. But throughout tonight's show there, you see how different sectors, business and various other sectors within that kind of ecosystem are trying to respond to that, and even down to simple things we can do on a very, very day-to-day level. I'm going to say a big thank you to Eamon Callaghan from Vision 85 for coming in this evening and really just outlining not just his vision, but what he's created there with Vision 85 in Clonmanagh Business Park in Portlaoise, and then not just a working hub, but also cafe, barbers, hairdressers, podcasting studios, really creating a community and a model for how working hubs can be built. And I liked how Eamon spoke about that these hubs can't be just built. They need to be created. You need to kind of tailor them towards the area they're in, the people they're in, and the sectors that are around it as do. You also heard from Ciara Breen from Creative Spark in Dundalk talking about a Dragon's Den style initiative that's coming up. If you've got an idea that you believe can help against and make a difference with climate change, submit your ideas, go before a panel of judges, and maybe even see that idea win a bursary and maybe become a social enterprise in its own right. And of course, if you've got some spare clothes that you think you could swap for some other nice clothes, why not go along to Sulla's Eco Garden Centre this week, get your tokens, drop in your clothes, go back on Sunday and see what you can pick up there. Lots of simple things we can do, lots of places to make a start. Talking about making a start, I'm coming to the end of this evening's show. Mr. Joe Cooney is waiting patiently outside here to come in and bring you Country Roads after news at 8 o'clock. Other than that, I'll just say get over to Mullingar, get out and enjoy the Flak Yole. It's a unique event. Mullingar looks fantastic. They've been a huge effort to welcome you there. Get out and enjoy, have a few tunes, bring the family. I'll talk to you all next Tuesday evening.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business. Midlands 103.